Hello, everyone. Welcome to Rock Talk Happy Hour. My name is Mario. This is the podcast about craft beer and music. Every episode, we try different craft beers, we discuss them, we rate them, and sometimes we learn a little bit about them, all while talking music-related topics. Usually, with this intro, I'll say that I'm joined by Kimberly, Britt, and Frank, like I usually am, but we had a little technical mishap, and the intro to the episode does not exist, but I was able to salvage most of the episode. With that said, I'm going to have to give a little, recap of what is missing from what you're hearing from what you're about to hear at the moment. So this episode is about supergroups. This is episode number 31, and we actually have a special guest this episode, host of the independent online radio station Chuck Vann's show. The host Chuck Vann's joined us. He was actually our first guest almost a year ago, back when we first started this podcast, and he was kind enough to join us again this episode and just have a chat with us about supergroups. The first time he joined us, we talked about FM radio. He actually used to be a radio DJ on an FM radio station here in town, and he was telling us a little bit about the behind the scenes stuff, and we kind of wanted to pick his brain a little bit about that. But if you want to listen to that episode, you can go back and listen to it. I think it's like episode 5 or something like that, but it's labeled with Chuck Vann's. But once again, he joined us this episode, and I just want to talk about what you guys missed from what didn't get recorded, or what ended up not being part of this episode. So basically, just to catch you up, every episode when we start, we usually talk about beers that we're drinking before we get into the topic, because we usually drink beers while we're talking about the topics too. We have little beer breaks, and like I said in the beginning of the episode, we discussed the beers, we rate them, and sometimes we learn a little bit about them. So in order to help me out with this intro, I have a beer to talk about. Unfortunately, the others aren't trying this beer with me. Usually we try beers together. This is an IPA, but I'm the resident IPA fan of the podcast anyways. This is a sweet and sour blood orange imperial IPA from Untitled Art, in collaboration with Lick Beer Project from Wanakee, Wisconsin. So this is an Imperial IPA. It's 8.8% ABV. This is a 16 fluid ounce can. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a shot and rate it. So like I said before, this is an IPA with blood orange, apple, and pineapple juice. Let's see. So honestly, straight up, this tastes like one of those Tropicana juices with the pineapple on it, or maybe it's like the Dole or something like that. It tastes like that with beer in it. Basically what it tastes like. I actually taste more of the fruity juice part than anything. The pineapple juice, I should say, is probably more overpowering than anything else. It doesn't really taste like an IPA. It's fine. It tastes good. I just taste more fruit juice than anything. So I think I'm going to give it a 4. So we usually go around and we rate the beers. With that said, also too, So in the beginning, of course, I introduced Chuck Vann's, and he was telling us a little bit about where you can find his show. You can find his show on pubsportsradio.com. And he's also on Instagram and Twitter. I usually listen to him on an app, a popular radio app that I don't want to mention, because it's just easier for me to listen to it on that. But what he was telling us later in the episode is that Pub Sports Radio actually has an app, so you can listen to a show on there. That's his local affiliate here in San Antonio, Texas. I know he has multiple ones, but like I said, you can follow him on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I usually retweet or repost some of his stuff on our social media anyways. So you can find our social media at rocktalkhappyhourpod.com. So one thing that you missed was that Frank was giving us the introduction to the supergroups topic, and also too, right before that, we had a little chat with Chuck Vans about beer, just having a chat about beer, and we were talking about hard seltzers and how they're popular and how everyone's coming out with a hard seltzer, all these breweries. I was talking about how Shiner's my favorite, and Shiner came out with a hard seltzer, and not really too fond of it. I didn't really enjoy it that much. But he was telling us that he works for a beer distributor, and he gave us a little insight saying that Shiner's apparently redoing the formula that they had for the first batch of the hard seltzers, and they should be, I guess, reissuing the hard seltzers again, but with a new formula, better tasting. I remember when Kim and I tried it, we actually bought it, and it was on clearance, I guess, because it had been sitting there, and no one was picking it up, and I guess because it didn't taste that great, I was a little disappointed, honestly. And he also gave us a little insight that Dos Equis should be coming out with some hard seltzers, too, so that's pretty interesting. So we talked a little bit about that, just a little bit about what he'd been up to, just been at it with his show. And for those of you not familiar with his show, like I said before, he's independent, and he puts a little spotlight on independent artists here and around the area. And he also plays music on his show that you really won't hear on a standard radio station in town or any local radio station, no matter where you're at. So he likes to mix it up and just play whatever he wants, play new and different things that no one else plays, from Americana to punk to rock to metal, to death metal. I mean, he plays all kinds of stuff, and he's also getting into interviewing members from different bands. And I know he had Ice-T on one of his programs not too long ago. And also, he gave us a little insight that he's trying to get Corey Taylor on a future episode. So that's just a recap, all the stuff that we talked about that you guys won't be able to hear, unfortunately. And that's all. That's just the conversation that we had with him. And then also, too, I guess I'm going to go ahead and go into the episode. So basically, we start off at the beginning of the supergroups topic, and Frank is kicking us off. And he gives us his first group that he'd like to talk about, which is a Perfect Circle. And before he kicked that off, he gave us a little definition of what a supergroup is, for those of you who don't know. I did have a wiki definition, but Frank did a pretty good job of explaining what it was. And basically what it is it is a group that is formed is made up of members from different successful bands. And basically these musicians from multiple successful bands come together, they form a band, and they make music, and they do not have a specific time frame on how long they're going to stick around. Sometimes they stick around for one album, sometimes they stick around for more, sometimes it becomes the main band for these members. But every band has its own story, especially with those with in the supergroup category. So yeah, that was that, and I guess I'm going to go ahead and let you guys listen to the rest of the episode, and we're going to pick up with Frank right in the middle of his little conversation about Perfect Circle. So hope you guys enjoy, and enjoy.
Fair share of members that belong to other well-established groups such as Nine Inch Nails, Marilyn Manson, Smashing Pumpkins, and Guns N' Roses. And they've been together for 20 plus years. They've released multi-platinum successful records. They released four records to date, studio records to date. They've got three, including a covers album. They've got three compilation albums and a video album that features official and fan-made videos. And, you know, actually, an interesting thing is A Perfect Circle But when they were just getting started, it was intended to have a female vocalist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then Maynard stepped in, and I guess he was able to match that feminine energy through his vocals, and so Maynard just, like, stayed with the band.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how many people know that, but yeah, originally, The Perfect Circle was going to have a female vocalist.
Interesting. Did you know that, Chuck?
I did not know that.
Are you in a Perfect Circle fan? Or a Tool fan?
I'm on the fence. I can like some stuff, and then I can. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the like really super pretentious fans kind of turn me off.
Oh,
of
yeah.
We've had that discussion.
The elitist
times.
Fans.
Yeah, we've had that discussion on this show before, and I think we had like something where Frank was telling us like why he likes him. We're like, oh, you're not in that group. So, it's the other guys that make us not like those bands and Tool specifically, but. Yeah,
it's
no,
not
I gotcha.
Tool's fault.
Yeah, no, it's not their fault. I just, yeah. I mean, the same how you explained it. I like some of their stuff, but I can't.
I think this is what happens is sometimes, I mean, and especially too with anything Maynard does, it's like you have your Tool fans and you have your Perfect Circle fans and you have like the Pussifer fans. And is there something about Maynard's fans, at least the more obsessive ones, that kind of just put a damper on the music, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because they seem to... They think that Maynard is God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
But I think what he does is good. I mean, I'm not super obsessive. I mean, I like his music. I like his artistry. But, you know, I think I'm just more of like, not a casual fan, but I do admire what he does. But I don't border on obsessive or...
Yeah, no, you're not. You're definitely not casual. How many times have you seen Tool? How many times have you seen Perfect Circle?
I don't know. I mean... More than a handful?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you're not a casual you're not a casual fan. Chuck, are you a fan of any supergroups? Because I know you have a definition, but
okay, well, I'm a huge Mike Patton fan.
Yeah.
And so many of his bands are supergroups.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like you could go down the line like Tomahawk.
Uh-huh.
You've got Dwayne Dennison from Jesus Lizard, mm-hmm. John Stainer from Helmet, Phantomos.
Right.
Buzz from the Melvins, Trevor Dunn's in Tomahawk as well, and Phantomos, and Dave Lombardo that was in Slayer.
Oh yeah,
and then you can—it's almost like 6 degrees of Mike Patton, and then it's like okay, you take Phantomos and you got Lombardo, then you go to Dead Cross, and with Dead Cross you have Lombardo, Justin Pearson, Michael Crane that were in Retox and the Locusts, and then from there Lombardo again. To the newest version of Mr. Bungle that has Lombardo, some of the original guys, Trevor Dunn, Trey Spruance, but then they added in Scott Ian from Anthrax.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so he's always worked and he's done, what was it? Not even the metal genre, but he did the Peeping Tom record with Danny Automator, right. Who's an awesome hip hop producer, and Rizelle. Well-known in the hip-hop world with beatboxing and all that. Mm-hmm. So he's done lots of different super groups in across a few different genres, you will. So I've always liked what he's done with his stuff.
I kind of noticed that, too, with some artists when I was making my list. And I kind of feel like, to some extent, maybe to not that far, but Chris Cornell was, like, one of the ones, too, that I saw that was linked to, like, multiple, especially, too, since that grunge scene was, like, really tight at that time in the 90s. There's some bands that will come up that I'm sure Britt will talk about, and I have on here, too, that, I think he's a connection in a lot of those bands, too, kind of like how Mike Patton was with those. But I guess with that, Frank, are you're good with yours, right?
Yeah, I'm good with mine for now, I'll butt in a little later.
Okay, Britt, you want to go next?
Sure. The first one on my list is one of those bands from the grunge scene that came out of that, and it's Mad Season.
Mad Season, I got them on here, but I knew you were going to talk about them.
Of course,
great one.
I love Lane Staley and I love Alice in Chains, so Mad Season made sense to start off with. So of course it's Lane Staley from Alice in Chains, but also Mike McCready from Pearl Jam, and Barrett Martin from Screaming Trees, also a big part of that grunge scene, Seattle scene. And their song River of Deceit was super popular. I bet they played it on a certain radio station here in San Antonio quite a bit.
Yeah,
and Yeah, I don't know. I remember when they were first coming out, it was really exciting. I think during that time that there was, you know, Mad Season, and then also Temple of the Dog was another super group that came out during that time period. And yeah, it was just kind of really cool to hear, you know, members of all these bands that were popular that you really loved, like collaborating and yeah, things like that. So it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then like also too, going to, I also wanted to talk about like how long these bands stay together. And Mad Season, do you know how many albums they came out with? Because going back to A Perfect Circle, they mm-hmm. released four albums, and they're still four, they yeah, still come out with stuff occasionally.
Yeah. And from what I know, I mean, I know that Billy Howardell, the guitarist, does want A Perfect Circle to continue, but it's all contingent on what Maynard's got going on, because he's got Tool, and he's also yeah, got his other project, Lucifer, and he's also got his vineyard.
Oh, that, that, yeah, that's true.
That's right.
That he dedicates a lot of his time to.
So we have, I mean, to try some of his wine sometime.
Yeah. So I mean, a lot of A Perfect Circle is contingent upon what Maynard's doing at the time, and if he can schedule some time away to do some touring and some recording. And I think that's also another thing with supergroups is every member's prior commitments has to allow for them to get together and do something definitely, together. So that's also another one where it's like, you know, there's one supergroup that puts out one album, and they take them like 10 years to put out another one yeah, because everyone's just busy doing their other thing. Yeah. And it always leaves you wanting more, because you get that little taste of what could be.
Yeah.
And then you still have to wait like a good while before all the planets can align again for, yeah, for that band to happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, true. And nothing, Mad Season?
Oh, they just put out one album.
Oh, okay, Mad Season.
In 94.
Do you have...
I think there was rumors of... I thought there was a second Mad Season album. I don't think it's ever seen the light of day.
Oh, wow.
I remember after Layne Staley died, they were like, oh, there's recordings of Mad Season.
That's possible.
And yeah, and then I've never heard anything else about it ever again.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised, because, I mean, usually when bands, you know, do record stuff, there's always stuff that gets cut or, you know, gets left somewhere.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised. Same thing happened with, it was kind of the same thing with Nirvana when they were in the process of recording demos for a new album when what happened. And then I think one of those singles ended up on that Nirvana, that Black album. And it was You Know You're Right, which was one of the mm-hmm. last demos that they recorded in the process of recording that new album. But definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff out there and probably see it someday.
No, yeah. I could be wrong, but I thought I read somewhere recently that Mad Season was getting back together with Jerry Cantrell doing vocals.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe that's just something I'm fantasizing about.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. Made that one up.
but I could have sworn I read a dream. Something like that.
Huh? I don't know. Chuck, you hadn't heard anything about that?
I'd heard some of Mad Season doing something, but I hadn't heard the Jerry Cantrell part.
Oh, maybe you guys are both having some kind of
the rest of the band was trying to do something.
Oh wow!
So whether or not maybe that's they were going to go by the vocals that maybe Layne had laid down years and years ago for whatever, and they were going to try and go and maybe finish that. I don't know. That could be.
Possibly.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to hear any new Layne Staley?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Britt, did you have a Temple of the Dog on your list?
Yeah,
you
Temple do? Of the Dog was
okay,
on my list,
so
too.
I'm going to save that then for later, because I know I was just making sure, you know, I don't. Yeah. Overstep anybody's
list. No, it's cool. It's fine. We can do that one together.
You know what? I guess because Kim, you don't have. Yeah, anything,
I
right?
have nothing. You my have brain nothing. Is fried. No, my that's... work week was crazy, and I'm actually. I know this might sound stupid, but I'm not afraid to admit that this subject is new to me. I have no idea what this was. I know it sounds crazy, like. And when Mario was telling me about it, I was like, really? Like, that's like a thing?
Hey,
like,
that's cool. We're informing you. So,
I'm just chilling today, drinking my 8.3 ABV. And
you take it easy.
Cruising.
Well, I guess
I deserve it. My week was hell.
Well, you know what? I guess since we're on the topic and, you know, we all have some kind of, you know, love for these bands. Britt, you want to go on and talk about Temple of the Dog so we can talk about that? Because, sure. I mean, pretty much it's kind of like that whole connection thing. Like, Mike McCready was in that band, and he was also in Temple of the Dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one was formed as a tribute to Andy Wood, the lead singer of Mother Love Bone, who passed away. And of course, Mother Love Bone went on to become Pearl Jam, the remaining members. Yeah. And so it's those members from Mother Love Bone, plus Chris Cornell, plus Eddie Vedder. So as a tribute to Andy Wood, and that was in 1990, so earlier than Mad Season. But I went to the, I think I've told you all that I went to a bunch of Lollapaloozas back in the day. And there was one, and Pearl Jam was there, and Soundgarden was there, and everybody in the crowd was like, oh, they're going to do Temple of the Dog stuff. But of course they didn't. Wow. But that was the big rumor floating around, and it was kind of exciting to think about that. But I think were really popular in their own right, and it was nice that they did that tribute.
So, and then also, too, to give a little history, Pearl Jam was a continuation of Mother Love Bone, right? And so in this band, Temple of the Dog, you had Chris Cornell from Soundgarden. Mm-hmm. You had Stone Gossard, who was from Mother Love Bone, also Pearl Jam. Then you had Jeff Ament, same band. Matt Cameron was also from Soundgarden. Then you had Eddie Vedder.
Well, Matt Cameron was in Pearl Jam and then Soundgarden.
Oh, okay.
Right,
so,
yeah. So later he did Soundgarden.
Okay. Well, still, he was in, still crazy how he was still in those two bands. And then, of course, Mike McCready. And then those guys only released one album.
Or no, so, it was flip-flopped. Soundgarden and then Pearl Jam. Did I say it the other way around?
I don't know. You know more than
Soundgarden,
you know more on these guys than I do. But yeah, no.
The
but,
Miller 64 is kicking in.
Yeah, I know.
Right? It's like that, my 2.3% alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. Look out. That or my IPA's kicking in. But anyways.
Rowdy.
So they only had one album. And do you know if they had like, if that was all they were going to do or if they had any kind of...
I think so. I think it was just a one-off. I mean, I'm not an expert by any stretch, but... That's what I understand, that it was intended to be a tribute because they all knew Andy Wood and it was, really shocking and sad thing for them. So,
yeah. And for all these like bands that we talk about, obviously, if you guys are familiar with our past episodes, I do post a playlist for bands that we talk about on our Spotify playlist. You can find that at rocktalkhappyhourpod.com. Also, too, you can find the links to our Spotify podcast show on there too. So there, we have two different Spotifys on there. But also too, I was going through and I was listening to a lot of the Temple of the Dog stuff and I was like, man, there's, and they only play that one song on the radio. And so I'm listening to it, I was like, man, there's a lot of good stuff. But just on that one album. But
I've played it a few times, I think.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in those days.
Not your fault though. Yeah. Not your But I guess, so I'll go ahead and take a shot at my next super group. So mine, I don't know if you guys remember any of this stuff. This was back in like, let me see what year it was. I want to say it was 2005. Mm-hmm. So there was this show on TV. I know when American Idol was like super huge and that was like singing competitions were like big. There was a show called Rockstar. And the first one that came out was Rockstar NXS. And that was to help NXS find a new singer. Yeah. So that's not the one I wanted to talk about because NXS is not a supergroup. The one I did want to talk about was from season two, and that was Rockstar Supernova.
That's right.
So I don't know if you guys remember Rockstar Supernova, but I remember watching that because I was a fan of Jason Newsted. He was, formerly a bass player for Metallica, but at the time he was bass player for Voivod. Voivod had actually been around way before, so he was just one of the members that came in at a later period of the band's lifespan. So what I found interesting about this is that the show for season two, it was called Rockstar : Supernova, right? But what I found out was that the band was called Rockstar Supernova.
What?
Yeah, so I was like kind of confused. I was like, I thought the band was called Supernova because that's how the series was going. Yeah, because the colon, right? So I found out that there was a punk band, and I don't know if Chuck knows his band. There was a punk band called Supernova. Apparently, they formed like in 89, and they're still active.
I've heard of them.
And I think that's why. So when I looked, them up, I was like, so the show was called Rockstar : Supernova, but the band was also called Rockstar Supernova.
Okay.
One phrase, and I was like, what the hell? So this band, basically, the show was about Tommy Lee, of course, from Motley Crue, Jason Newsted of Voivod, and Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses, trying to find a singer to form this band called Rockstar Supernova. What's weird to me is that they ended up getting a singer. His name was Lucas Rossi, and they only released one album. They were only active between 2006 and 2008, and Newsted left after 1 year.
Okay, wow, which is crazy
to me. And I know I've talked about it a couple of times. Maybe I haven't on the show, but I dislike singing competitions. Like, I cannot stand singing competitions. I remember when this one came out, I was like, let me see what this is about, because it's rock-oriented. And sure enough, it was cringy too. And I guess Newsted thought the same thing, because he left after 1 year. Do you remember this, or do you remember watching this, Chuck? Or it was just under the radar for you?
I kind of remember, but there was another one.
Oh, wow.
Where it was like Sebastian Bach and Jason Bonham.
Oh, that one sounds familiar to me too.
And I can't remember what. They just like threw these like random people together.
You know what? That sounds and like a. Was it like on it VH1 like a, it was or something?
It was a VH1 one.
Ah, okay, that's
and they,
probably.
And they
why.
Put them where they like literally were like, okay, you four guys, you're gonna live together for 6 months, and you're gonna put out a song.
Yes, that sounds familiar.
And they had to come up with a band name or whatever, and they had to come up with a single. I don't know if they ever did. But I remember it was Bonham, and I remember Sebastian Bach was in it.
It was called Supergroup.
Oh, it was called okay. Britt did the research.
Ted Nugent was in it as well too.
Oh wow, Ted Nugent.
Nugent's in it.
Oh wow, I did not remember that one. Yeah, because this one was on NBC. Yeah. And I remember watching this one, but that one, the one that you just brought up, sounded vaguely familiar.
It said it was on VH1.
It was on VH1, yeah. That guy kind of sounded, when you said Sebastian Bach, the first thing that popped in my head was VH1.
You know, and I don't think they released any music. They did play some shows here and there. They were playing covers of each other's respective bands.
Oh, I see.
But eventually they renamed themselves as Damocracy, I think.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Well.
That's
but no, they never released any music, which, you know, would have been interesting to hear.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have five different dudes from totally different backgrounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe, I don't know, fingers crossed at some point it might happen.
Yeah. So that was mine. Rockstar Supernova. I actually went on Spotify to see if they had any other stuff on there, because I only released one album and I listened to it. And yeah, it was pretty cringy. I was like, okay. And so I looked at the NXS stuff, and I remember this guy, JD Fortune. He was the guy who won. And he was actually a singer for NXS for 6 years, from 2005 to 2011. But then the band decided not to renew his contract when it was coming up to end. So I was like, well, you know, obviously that didn't work out. I think that's just a weird way to go at it, because I also saw that the producers were trying to do a season three, and they were trying to do a season three with Alice in Chains. Obviously, you know, Jerry Cantrell, I don't see him as the type of guy to go that direction, and they weren't. Okay. And then also another rumor was Velvet Revolver. And it just seems like the producers were trying to go for bands that had lost.
Let's go with dead singers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, at least they were trying, right?
Well, the producers were trying. I mean, obviously, Alice in Chains did come back.
Yes.
You know, Velvet Revolver, not so. But, so these guys, these bands were approached for season three of this program. And, it died. And I'm kind of glad it did. Like I said, I'm not a fan.
And if you want a fun fact.
Uh-huh. Oh, fun fact.
Look up, because you were talking about NXS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Look up the interview and story about how NXS tried to get Mike Patton as their singer.
No what way!
He basically laughed in their face.
Oh, wow! Look at it. Wow, so it is really a 6 degrees.
And this is from like the 90s, like early to mid 90s, when they were like after Hutchins, you know, killed himself. Like they approached him because of his vocal range and stuff, and he goes, "Yeah, they asked me, and I just basically kind of laughed in their face, like over the phone." And I was like, "Oh."
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Mike Patton, they asked him to be in NXS, and he turned them down.
Match. Yeah,
that's an odd match. Yeah,
that does seem kind of weird. I mean, I really like NXS, and I really like
NXS too, yeah. I didn't like him with that.
I don't want them to be together. No.
and I didn't like him with that singer that they got from the show, JD Fortune. And I think they only released one album with him, but they did tour quite a bit with him. And I don't remember liking that stuff, but I do like the all the previous NXS stuff. Yeah, so that was mine. Frank, you're up.
Okay, so this is where my technicality comes in.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What you got? Because he's always going with
the
technicalities. Is this
the unofficial list? Or the-
yeah, yeah. Right?
Just kidding. Well, but it all ties back to Maynard.
Yeah.
But this is a super group that was more of a studio project that never really fully saw the light of day.
I mean, I guess that kind of counts. Well, no, actually it does. There's one on my list that comes up into that category.
Oh, only because you have it.
No. Because it is, technically, he's in the right. Go ahead, Frank. Just go ahead.
Okay, so this next band is a super group called Tapeworm. And
gross.
Yeah, that's kind
of. But yeah, but like I said, it was a super group that never fully saw the light of day. And it consisted of Nine Inch Nails frontman Trent Reznor, Keenan as well, Maynard Keenan as well. Phil Anselmo was also
a
contributor. And also Paige Hamilton of Helmet and various other contributors. And the project was active between 1995 and 2004 and recorded more than an album's worth of demos. But because of legalities between record labels of every contributor, they weren't able to release any official music.
Yeah.
But A Perfect Circle did rework some of those songs and released them as A Perfect Circle songs. But I know it caused like a thing between Maynard and Trent Reznor. Like I think Trent wasn't happy with how the music was coming out.
Yeah.
And I think eventually he got over it. I think he was just happy that the music was getting out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tapeworm was one of those that everybody was talking about. I mean, at least in the industrial world, everybody was talking about. There were photos uploaded every week. And there was always like news leaking out. So it was one of those things that was hyped about, but never really happened.
Hmm. Okay. I didn't know about that one. Chuck, did you know about that? I always got to ask you, man, because I know you'd have to have.
I'd heard of Tapeworm and that was, yeah, that's one of the myths of that it was out there that there was this super rad band Tapeworm with all these people. And then, well, when's it coming out? And then, is it?
Yeah.
Maybe? No. Okay. And then it just kind of faded away.
Yeah. And I think what happened was after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, and then that really jacked up Trent Reznor's studio. Mm-hmm. And then I think he lost a lot of the master tapes and stuff.
Oh.
And so what happened, he was like, nah.
How convenient.
You know, yeah, how convenient, right? And I think what happened was he just gave up on it and said, no, you know what? Like, we've been doing too much work on this and all the work has been lost, like just move on.
Yeah, well, you know, that kind of makes sense. I mean, if that really did happen, mm-hmm. you know, if you spend all that time with these guys and then they get destroyed, you kind of, you're like, what, you know, why?
Right.
Yeah, it could be a bummer, I guess, if it did happen that way. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that story or not.
I don't know. I mean, also, too, I think just the legalities, everybody had to deal with their own record labels and having restrictions on what they could release because,
that's true,
because you're collaborating with so-and-so who belongs to this label, and there's, like, something in the fine print that doesn't allow you to release music.
So it's funny you bring that up, Chuck. I don't know if you had heard about this, but apparently I read this article not too long ago that Corey Taylor was approached by Anthrax to be the singer when they didn't have one, but apparently he couldn't be the singer because Roadrunner... like contractually he couldn't Corey couldn't like sing with them and like they literally told him like if you sing with him like I mean if you sing with Anthrax then we're gonna have to drop you basically is what happened.
I hadn't heard that
Yeah, there was like this whole article that came out like not too long ago. I think this came out when he was doing like some kind of press run for when his solo stuff came out like right before it, and I read it and I was like, holy crap, that's like that was crazy and interesting to me. But yeah, if you want to look that up too, like it was basically Anthrax approaching him and him couldn't.
Anthrax got rid of Belladonna?
I think this was before he had gotten back with them. So, and they asked Corey and he couldn't do it. And I was like, what the hell? But he couldn't do it because the label pretty much twisted his arm and said, you can't do it and you shouldn't do it. Yeah, so, but yeah, no, that was pretty interesting too that you brought up that contract thing. Mm-hmm. The reason why I said Frank's counted was because mine on my list, one of the ones I had was Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington. Because when technically that counts as a supergroup under Wikipedia's terms. And so when I saw Chester Bennington was supposed to be part of the band, he actually, you know, to replace Scott Weiland. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And so they actually offered him a spot. He said yes. And they released a single, but they only went as far as releasing one EP. And I think he did some shows with them, but mm-hmm. he wanted to focus on Linkin Park, so he ended up not joining them and recording a full album. So that kind of falls into that category, except they did release stuff. They actually mm-hmm. did release a single, and this was back like in 2013, and they did release an EP. I think it was like 5 songs.
Right.
But yeah, no, that was Stone Temple Pilots with Chester Bennington. Mm-hmm. But that's the one I had, just to, you know, okay. You know, follow Frank's little thing there.
Yeah. How about a Supergroup Junior?
Supergroup, okay. Yeah.
The band Suspect 208.
Who's that?
It features the sons of Slash.
Oh,
Robert Trujillo, and then it used to have Scott Weiland, but they kicked
him out.
Yeah. For drugs.
Yeah, that's the same.
Right.
I was talking to Frank about that. I was like, dude, they just booted Scott Weiland's son from his band. Yeah, I didn't know the name of the band, but I had heard that story. But that's crazy. I forgot. Yeah, that is kind of Supergroup Junior. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. new category. Yeah, I was started on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And then like it's crazy too, because I heard rumors too that apparently the guys in Slipknot, they want their sons.
What's his name? The clown's son?
Yeah, clown's
son. And Corey's
son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have a band together too.
Yeah, but they actually want them to eventually continue Slipknot. Hmm. Like, down the line.
I don't know, because I feel like clown's son is trying to distance himself from his dad.
So. But it's kind of like his dad wants him, like, son, this is your legacy now. You have to continue Slipknot.
I follow his son on Instagram, and
oh,
I know
do?
That.
I follow Corey's son on Instagram.
I think I follow them both, but I think I feel like he wants to like distance himself from. Oh, well, everybody's like, "Oh, you're because of your dad," and he's like, "I don't want to be. I want to be my own." Like,
but I think he's a teenager. I think that'll maybe something. Mm-hmm. I mean,
we'll see.
Because what's his name? The drummer. Oh my god, I forgot his name. Yeah. He took
Jay Weinberg.
Yeah, Jay Weinberg. There you go. That's Max Weinberg's son. But he grew up listening to Slipknot because he's pretty young. And I think there was photos of him like meeting the band when he was a kid, and now he's part of the band. And maybe, you know, being the sons, you know, you might feel like that when you're a teenager. Maybe they'll change their mind and want to continue. That'd be cool if they did.
And isn't Eddie Van Halen's son, and like they toured with Van Halen when they united?
Wolfgang. Yeah, Wolfgang. Yeah, he actually became a permanent member.
And I think
member.
Glenn Frey's son took over for him and toured with the Eagles after he died.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's
their
thing.
Oh, their band is called Bended.
Bended, yeah.
It's Simon Cran and what's his name?
I forgot Corey's son's name.
Oof. Gage, right? I think.
I don't know. I'm thinking of
something like that.
I have no idea. Well, anyways.
Well, Griffin. Well,
Griffin that's his name. Okay.
It's a G name.
It's pretty nuts though, because like it's hard for me to imagine that you know, the members of Slipknot are dads now.
Yeah, no.
You know, because like in high school, you know, you don't think about that type of stuff. And now that you're an adult and you realize, oh yeah, these people are adults too.
Yeah.
Well, now they also have aged.
Yeah, they
it's not just us.
Kids. Oh man, that's crazy. Britt, do you have something else on you?
Sure.
What you got?
I don't know which one I want to do next.
I feel like I caught you off guard, but go ahead.
No, it's fine. I always bring in the new wave stuff.
Yeah,
one of my favorite genres. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about the band Electronic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is a super group with Bernard Sumner from New Order and Johnny Marr, the former Smiths guitar player.
Okay.
Also the two guys from Pet Shop Boys.
Ooh.
And Carl Bartos from Kraftwerk.
I did not know about that group.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the other bands you mentioned, but not this super group.
I was listening to them like literally the other day.
No way. That's awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
My girlfriend loves all that Joy Division and New Order and all that stuff. And, that popped up on the random playlist. That's hilarious.
Yay.
Yeah, that's Britt and Frank here on this show. Group. There are residents for that genre here.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
They're at the Amp Room every Saturday, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Yeah. Or at least they used to be before COVID. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and they had some hits. Definitely they were popular on the radio. I think a lot of times people heard it and assumed it was New Order because, you know, Bernard Sumner singing, but it's actually a super group.
Okay, so you know what? You know, I'm going to have to ask this question. Do I know the song? And what song is it?
I always get this wrong when we play this game, Mario. I'm like, of course you know this song. Everybody knows the song.
What song is it?
And then we listen to it, and Mario's like, no, never heard of it.
What song
is it? Gee, what song should I pick, y'all? To tell Mario to listen to.
Oh, go ahead, Chuck. What were you going to say?
I was going to say the song that we were listening to, it has New Order singing.
Yeah.
But it sounds very Smith's guitar.
Okay.
Like so, you can tell the Smith's guitar and then the New Order singing.
I gotcha.
Like you can hear okay, where it's so the
I think it's probably Getting Away With It is the name of the song. That's my guess.
Okay.
What y'all heard, Chuck, because the other song that was like that charted and that was popular is called Disappointed, but it's got the Pet Shop Boys guy singing.
Okay.
So, yeah, if it's Bernard Sumner singing and it was a kind of more popular song, it's called Getting Away With It.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm going to put those two on the Spotify playlist. I'm going to listen to them because I don't think I am, but maybe I'll hear it and I'll text you later and be like, shit, I know this song.
Okay, hopefully.
Okay.
I hope so.
Was that yours?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've got another new wavy one if you want.
Yeah, go ahead. Since you're on the same,
do that.
Yeah, since you're on the same genre, we can do that.
So that is Power Station.
Okay.
Power Station is comprised of Robert Palmer.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. The drummer from Chic, Tony Thompson. Uh-huh. Andy and John Taylor from Duran Duran.
Oh shoot! Okay.
Huh. Oh, and another guy from Chic. Sorry. So two guys from Chic, two guys from Duran Duran, and then Robert Palmer.
Real quick, back to electric. How many?
Electronic.
Electronic. I wrote that wrong. How many albums that they have?
That I'm not sure about.
Like maybe about a couple albums. I think maybe one was like a compilation of just stuff they released as B-sides or.
Oh wow!
Non-album singles.
They recorded apparently under three different labels and were active from 1988 to 2001.
So holy shit!
So there's a few in there, I guess.
And then what about Power Station?
And Power Station, I'm not sure. Let me see how long they were active. Well, it looked like a couple of different times: 84 to 85, and then 95 to 97.
Did they have any hits?
They did. They did a cover of T-Rex's "Get It On."
Oh, okay.
And then also,
do I know that version?
Oh my god! Yeah, are you asking me if you know that song?
Or yeah,
I know please, that song? Please, Mario.
No, I know the song.
If you don't know that song, okay. You're gonna get beat up later.
Let me structure it this way. I know the song, but do I know that version?
Probably it was. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. I definitely know the song.
And then another song of theirs, Some Like It Hot from 85. That was super popular. Heck? Too.
Okay. I got to look that up too. Okay.
Yeah. So a little side project for those Duran Duran boys. They had another side project called Arcadia, but it was not a super group because it did not involve members of any other band. It was just three of the Duran Duran guys that did like
an audition. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got your new wave fix for the night. Yay.
All right, cool. I guess I'm going to go next. I'm going to go into the metal side real quick. Mine, actually, you know what? I was going to go with this one, but I'm going to go with another one I have. This one was one that I had heard about recently, and I didn't know they had been around since like 2014. But have you guys heard of Teenage Time Killers?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. It's a rock supergroup formed in LA 2014 by guitarist Mick Murphy from My Ruin. I'm actually not familiar with that band, but I am familiar with the Corrosion of Conformity, and the drummer Reed Mullen. He was actually one of the founding members of this band, and this band had members from bands that we all know: Dave Grohl, Corey Taylor, Randy Bly from Lamb of God, Matt Skiba from Alkaline Trio and Blink 182, Neil Fallon, singer of Clutch. Pat Smear from Foo Fighters. So basically this band, it was just these two guys, and they had like rotating musicians on different songs. Cause you had the guitarist and the drummer, and then you had rotating bassists and, vocalists. And they actually released an album in 2015 called Teenage Time Killers Greatest Hits Volume 1. They only released one album, but apparently they're still active and they have plans to release more stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, so this was, it was mainly the guy, Mick Murphy and Reed Mullen, and they have like all these, there was, I think, at least 30 guest musicians on that album. And basically it's just like a super group jam album, and they're planning on doing another one. One of the songs that I have on the Spotify playlist right now is with Corey Taylor singing. But yeah, there's just so many like metal, and actually it sounds very punk. So I don't know if you're familiar with the early COC, Corrosion of Conformity stuff, but it's really like, it's really punk. Mm-hmm. Later on, mm-hmm. they went into more like just hard southern rock, or not even southern rock, I shouldn't say that, but it was just like more hard rock. But it sounds a lot like the early COC stuff. And Randy Bly, I know he has some like punk roots too. And you can hear it on the song that he sings on. But yeah, if you're interested in that stuff, Teenage Time Killers, that's a pretty interesting super group that I just actually learned about them like maybe 2 years ago. But they had formed.
Oh, wow.
They had just formed in 2014, came out with the album 2015. But yeah. that was an interesting one for me.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm surprised you hadn't heard of them, Chuck, because I know you're a big punk guy.
Yeah, I know. That's very, I'm gonna have to look them up.
Yeah, it sounds very sludge too. Like look them up, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think you would like them. I think it would be right up your alley. Frank, what you got? You're up next.
Okay, so my next one is one of four bands that Chino Moreno is a part of.
Okay.
A band called Palms. And they got started in 2011. And it features, of course, Chino Moreno of Deftones and former members of the post-metal band Isis. And unlike the heaviness of Isis, for me, I mean, Palms' music is more atmospheric post-rock oriented, which I think to me is more akin to Deftones employing more spacey textures, more slower tempos. But I think it's good. I mean, it's a good mix of... Because there is some heaviness to the music, and there's also like that atmospheric stuff which I do like. I like that mix of heavy and atmospheric. And you know, they've been around for 10 years. They've only released one album. They did some limited touring in 2013 in California and Texas. And again, it's also contingent upon Chino Moreno's schedule with Deftones. So whenever they can get together, they'll get together. But I mean, it's one of those bands that's exciting for me. You know, when I first heard them, I was like all about them. I went to the two shows that, you know, I saw them on two shows on that one tour. And I mean, I was blown away. Like I really liked it so much, and I'm looking forward to new music whenever that does come to fruition.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're going to talk about that next episode. Talk about shows that, you know, we miss going to shows and stuff. But Britt, do you want to go next?
Sure.
Okay.
It's my last one.
All right. No, that's cool. What you got?
And it's the Traveling Wilburys.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, really? My God,
I
Mario.
Don't. Oh, my.
I know that. Oh, wow. Is.
She doesn't know that?
No, I don't.
What the heck?
I probably know the song. There's some. Britt always throws these curveballs at me where I don't know the names. Like, she tells me these bands. I'm like, who the hell is this? And then later on, I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, I know who they are.
They were on the, like, Time Life compilations that were always sold on USA Network.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I probably own those. I used to drunk buy a lot of those.
Drunk buy.
Drunk purchase those.
Nice. Well, it's George Harrison.
Okay.
Tom Petty, Bob Dylan.
Oh, wow.
Roy Orbison and Jeff Lynne from ELO. So it's, like, some pretty heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Some important guys there. And they were active from 88 to 91. And yeah, I mean, I think they deserve a mention, a minute or two tonight.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
Kind of a big deal, those guys.
Yeah, no, I'm a big Tom Petty fan, so maybe that's why. I mean, when you named those guys, I was like, okay, that sounds familiar, but the band name doesn't. And probably if I listen to some songs, I'd be like, okay, I know who they are.
Yeah, definitely, so. We can do that. But yeah, so that's all. That's
okay.
I'm just gonna bring him up and say, yeah, big important supergroup.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go into metal real quick because this is one that I don't think was supposed to stick around as long as it did, and I think this falls into the definition when Frank was talking earlier, where, you know, it's not meant. You're not sure if it's supposed to stick around for a long time or not.
Okay.
This band is Hell Yeah. heavy metal supergroup from Dallas, Texas, formed in 2006. I remember when these guys formed, and I remember when the first album came out. So this band consists of Chad Gray from Mudvayne, Greg Tribbett from Mudvayne as well. He's not in the band anymore, though. Tom Maxwell from Nothing Face, Jerry Montano from Nothing Face, and Vinnie Paul from Pantera and Damage Plan. So these guys, I know, I think this was originally a band. It was a concept between Chad Gray and Tom Maxwell from Nothing Face, and they wanted to form a band together. But like Frank was saying before, when schedules don't align, sometimes things don't happen. And that was one reason why nothing happened when it did, because I think they were talking like back in like 2000, and they never released anything. And then I think Vinnie Paul was in Damage Plan with his brother, Dimebag, and then Dimebag was murdered, and then Vinnie Paul kind of wanted to stay away from music, and then Chad, being a fan of Pantera and being a fan of Vinnie Paul and stuff, he wanted to get him back into music, so he like literally kept bugging him to join the band because they needed a drummer.
Okay.
And Vinnie Paul, I think after like literally like a couple of years, decided to join. And I don't know how long it was supposed to last, but they ended up going 6 albums. And apparently they're still active. I think they just recently replaced Vinnie Paul with Roy Mayorga. He's the drummer from Stone Sour. So they just replaced Vinnie Paul. But apparently they still have plans to keep going. And I know in this case, Mudvayne got pushed to the side. And there's still no plans for Mudvayne to come back from what I've seen.
That's sad.
Yeah, so this was one.
It hurts my heart.
Yeah, so this was one of those where like the super group was like just meant to be a side thing, and then it just ended up being the main thing.
Okay.
For Chad and Tom Maxwell. But yeah, 6 albums and they're still active.
And didn't they do what was it, Rebel versus Rebel?
Yeah, Rebel yeah. Meets Rebel. Yeah, that was with
Rebel Meets Rebel.
Yeah, David Allen Coe and some other guys.
Oh, and it was Vinnie Paul and Dimebag.
Yeah, Vinnie Paul and Dimebag. And I think
I was just reading about that.
I think Rex Brown was in that band too. Yeah, I think it was most of the Pantera guys except for Phil. And then and then some country guys, and I have one of those songs I think on the Spotify playlist. But yeah, Rebel Meets Rebel. I remember when those guys came out too.
Oh, and you could throw in, I guess, Superjoint Ritual too. With Phil and another Hank one, 3.
Yeah, Superjoint. And actually, speaking of Phil, Down apparently is a super group too. You had Phil from Pantera, and then back to COC, Pepper Keenan, guitarist for COC, is in there. Kirk Weinstein from Crowbar, Todd Strange, and Jimmy Bauer from Crowbar as well. I think Down is still active, if I'm correct. I know Superjoint is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, all these underground metal dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, there's another thing, too, like, where you see these bands, and there's, like, one connection where you were talking about yours, and then Phil Anselmo, you know, apparently he's been connected to, like, 3 or whatnot, and then, yeah, it's crazy. You have this one guy, and then, like, he's connected to all these super groups. Everybody just wants to jam with him.
I think it's Down. Their drummer, I'm not so sure, I could be wrong, but I think their drummer was not very well known outside of the New Orleans music scene. I think he was just like a street performer.
Oh, wow.
And I think what happened was Pepper Keenan, he owned, or I don't know if he still owns, a bar in New Orleans in the French Quarter. And he was just walking around, you know, walking to the bar to go manage things. And he just heard this drummer just playing on the street and liked what he heard and said, hey, you know, want to join my band, and found out about it. I think that's how he got in.
Oh, wow.
Well, nice. You know,
way to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of unknowns, back to A Perfect Circle, from what I saw, I think the guy who founded the band, what was his name, Frank? You know.
Yeah, Billy Howard.
He wasn't a known musician. No, like, that was his first band.
He was a guitar tech for Guns N' Roses, Nine Inch Nails, for Tool. And, you know, being a guitar tech, I guess you just know stuff. And he was actually recording some demos on whatever early Pro Tools he had.
Yeah.
And that's how Maynard found out about the project. Yeah. And that's how the whole thing got started. But I mean, it's cool. I mean, it sounds like the story of a fan who got to play with his favorite artist, you know? Because I mean, I don't know how many roadies start a band?
you don't hear about that too much. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
No, that's pretty crazy. Let's see. I have a few more on my list. Did you have any more, Brett?
No, I'm good.
Frank, did you have any more?
Yeah, like a couple more.
Okay, I got a few more too. And then if Chuck, you want to jump in for anything. One of the ones I want to talk about real quick is Velvet Revolver. I think that's an obvious one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They formed in 2002. They only lasted up until 2008. They only released two albums. So obviously this one consisted of Slash from Guns N' Roses, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, Matt Sorum. Pretty much this was Guns N' Roses, but with Scott Weiland. Except you had Dave Kushner on the drums, and he was from Danzig, but he also played with Dave Navarro. So he actually played with like multiple bands. He wasn't just set in one band. Mm-hmm. But Velvet Revolver is one of the ones I have on my list, in case you have anything to say about that. Another one I had that I thought was pretty cool and interesting, and I didn't think they were going to last that long, and they didn't. They only came out with one album. Them Crooked Vultures. Super rock group from LA, formed in 2009. That was Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age. He actually got this group together. It was just a threesome with Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters and crazy John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin.
So
that was pretty I remember when they came out, and I actually have a guitar magazine with them three on the cover. I thought that was so crazy. I'm a big Dave Grohl fan too, but I know too Dave Grohl has been like in tons of other bands too, like Probot and all this stuff. And they only released one album, and they actually won a Grammy in 2011, Best Hard Rock Performance for their single, Newfang. So that's pretty crazy. Like, you know, these big guys, you know, they're, you know, Dave Grohl's big in the hard rock scene, and then John Paul Jones, you know, in the, you know, I don't want to say classic rock scene, but he's just an icon in general because of Led Zeppelin. And then Josh Homme is, you know, big in his, you know, side of the rock world.
And I remember when them Crooked Vultures came to Austin, I wanted to go. I was excited about the lineup, and I'm thinking, how often is it that you get to see artists of their caliber playing in clubs?
Yeah.
You know?
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but unfortunately, they only released one album. I haven't seen anything about them coming up with anything else, but it'd be cool if they did. But that was a cool little super group. And I guess there's two more. I guess I can knock off my list real quick. This is all I have left, and I just wanted to run through some names of some super groups that maybe, I don't know if people know their super groups or not, but one of the ones I have on here is Audioslave. I'm sure everybody was thinking of that one. I don't know if you guys were or not.
Definitely.
But they formed in Glendale in 2001. This is, of course, Chris Cornell from Soundgarden, Tom Morello, Tim Comerford, and Brad Wilk, all from Rage. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of like one of those templates too, where it's like pretty much the whole band from a previous band just getting a new singer and then calling it something else, which is kind of what it was, but it was its own thing. They released three albums, but unfortunately, because Chris Cornell passed away, but yeah, so that one was pretty much all of Rage,
mm-hmm,
technically. And Chris Cornell singing, and then the same thing with Stone Temple Pilots with Chester singing. And I think there was another example too I had here, but I couldn't find anything. Luckily, I think we saw Soundgarden live. So luckily, I got to see Chris Cornell live thanks to you guys. Because we saw Soundgarden with Nine Inch Nails, didn't we? Or I saw it with you then, with us. It was Frank. Yeah, because Frank drags me to Nine Inch Nails shows occasionally because he's seen them like 100 times.
Yeah.
But we saw him with Soundgarden in Austin. And so I was lucky enough to see Chris Cornell sing in person. That was pretty cool. My last one, in case anyone has anything else, Saint Asonia. You familiar with Saint Asonia, Chuck? Saint Asonia.
The name sounds familiar.
All right. So, Saint Asonia, I think Kim knows who I'm talking about. Yes. So, Adam Gontier of 3 Days Grace, when he left 3 Days Grace, he formed Saint Asonia, and I had no idea that this was a supergroup. So, he formed them in 2015. He actually formed them with Mike Mushock of Stained, guitarist from Stained. I didn't know that he was in the band. Corey Lowry from Switched and Dark New Day. Corey Lowry, if you're familiar with the last name, he's actually Clint Lowry's brother. Glory of Seven Dust,
yeah.
And then Rich Bedeau of Finger 11 and Seether. Huh. So I didn't know that Saint Asonia was a super group. I didn't. And Mike Mushock, if you know, he's the main guitarist in Stained. I didn't know he was in this band. And also, too, for those who don't know, he was actually in a band with Jason Newsted. When Newsted formed his own band after Voivod, he called it Newsted. And Mike Mushuk played guitar with him on that. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Newstead only released, I think, one album, which I have. I think they released an EP and an album, which I own both of. And then St. Asonia have only released two albums so far. But yeah, Mike Mushuk, actually, I guess people, you know, he knows people, but he's played with quite a bit of you know, big names out there too, but apparently he's still part of St. Asonia. He's playing with Adam Gontier. But yeah, no, that's all I had. Those were the bands that I really wanted to, I guess, and I think touch on.
There's one, well, many super groups that I think we can kind of touch on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
go over the last 365 days.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Is all the quarantine supergroups.
Yeah, I've heard of a
all the live couple. Stream supergroups.
Yeah, there was one. Are you familiar with Chris Jericho from Fozzy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know he did one too, I think with some other guys, and they were playing like Kiss songs, but like they were like covering them, but they uh-huh. but they actually formed a band, and it started off like that because of the quarantine. Actually, I think they're called Quarantine. I think, yeah, if I'm correct, I think they're called
a quarantine. And there's a whole lot, like dudes from Anthrax, Lamb of God, Mastodon, all these different bands, just these guys just coming together to live stream and do a song.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, on Zoom or whatever it is.
Yeah. So
that's probably the most recent, I guess we could say, supergroups is all the guys that form these kind of one-off supergroups to do a song.
Yeah.
During quarantine.
So now we have a supergroup juniors and we have a quarantine supergroups. So we have two new categories. We created
two new groups.
Yeah. So that's all on this show. So there's a couple I want to name off real quick in case anybody wants to jump in and talk about them real quick or just mention them. But we did talk about Rebel Meets Rebel. Chuck brought them up. So that was on my list. So apparently Foo Fighters is considered a supergroup. Because you had members from Nirvana, and then the other guys were from Sunny Day Real Estate. Yeah.
And the drummer played for Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, the drummer played for Alanis Morissette. Yeah. So like that, technically, according to Wikipedia, they're a supergroup, and I really didn't know. So then there's them. There's a Boxcar Racer and Plus 44. Oh, yeah. I know that's up Kim's alley. Yes. And also, too, another spinoff from Blink 182. That would be.
Dang, so I knew it and I didn't even know.
Yeah. Angels and Airwaves.
Yeah.
So that's already three. So that's Boxcar Racer, Plus 44, Angels and Airwaves. I actually saw them once on Warped Tour, like back in the day. Another one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Heaven and Hell. Mm-hmm. So that's Ronnie James Dio with the guys from Sabbath. So that was kind of like a Black Sabbath spinoff band. Five Finger Death Punch apparently is considered a supergroup. I'm not familiar. Yeah, I know. Apparently, I'm not familiar with what bands the other guys were in, but I know, I don't know if you're familiar with the singer Ivan Moody, his previous band Motograder. They were like kind of like Slipknot-ish new metal band, came out like in the early 2000s. They didn't last very long. I don't even know if they're still doing stuff. They came out at the same time like that Mushroomhead came out, but
And then he drank Monster Energy drink and then formed Five Finger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. let me see. Oh, Cavalera Conspiracy. Yeah. That was Max Cavalera, Soulfly.
Soulfly.
Yeah.
Max Cavalera actually. I think is it this week's show?
Oh.
He has a son with his band with his son.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
It's a totally new band.
It's a new metal band.
Oh wow! I'm gonna look that up because I like the Cavalera Conspiracy stuff. I wasn't really into Soulfly, but I do dig this other band.
I think I'm playing it on the show for this week.
Sweet. Oh sweet! I'm gonna check that out.
Let's see. I'm trying to find my show notes here.
Oh yeah, go for it.
But I'm trying to find the name of the band. Because I know I played Sepultura and I played this band. Let's see. They're called Go Ahead and Die.
Oh, okay. Let me write that down.
And the new single is called Truckload Full of Bodies.
All right.
It's Max Cavalera and his son.
That's insane. Is there anybody else in the band that's known, or is it?
All the stuff that I've read, that's all that gets focused on is,
just him.
Him and his son.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's pretty awesome. Well, I'm going to look that up, and I'm going to go ahead and put that on Spotify if they have anything up on there. The other bands I have on here are Army of Anyone. I think that that was with guys from Filter, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, Army of Anyone. Let me see. Dead by Sunrise. That was Chester Bennington from Linkin Park and some other bands. I think they were like emo bands, if I'm correct. I'm not really too familiar with that. Prophets of Rage. I think you've played Prophets of Rage, right? Mm.
I have.
Yeah, Prophets of
Public
Rage.
Public Enemy and Rage Against the Machine.
And Cypress Hill, yeah, right?
Cypress Hill.
So Prophets of Rage, that was another one. Here's one. I don't know if anyone knows about this one. They only released one album, but it's a Dream Car. And basically, it was the members of No Doubt with the singer from AFI, Davey Havoc. So they only released one album from what I've seen. I remember when that album came out, too, but I don't think they did anything else because I know Davey has some other side projects. And then there's also The Dead Weather, which was Jack White. And I forgot what the vocalist, what band she was from.
The Kills.
The Kills. Okay, there you go, Frank. I knew somebody was going to know something. But those were the bands that I had, just to name off in the rock category. I know there's tons more, but there are names that I think people really don't know.
But Frankie still has some, I think.
Oh shoot! No, well, that was my list. But what you got for me?
No, well, you mentioned Dream Car, and that was one of mine.
But... Oh, talk about Dream Car.
Oh yeah, Dream Car. Yeah, well, they were formed in 2016, and I think originally when news got out that Davey Havoc was performing with, or you know, working with the No Doubt trio, the musical trio, I think a lot of fans thought that he was replacing Gwen Stefani as her singer, but it turned out that wasn't the case. Dream Car was a completely different new band.
The style was different too.
Yeah, it was very 80s new wavy inspired, and you know, it just combines their love for 80s music and that their debut album. I mean, just the one they've put out so far, I think it's pretty good. It's solid, and I think it does show a different side of Davey Havoc and the musical trio of No Doubt.
Yeah.
So I think it's good music.
I had no idea that you would have them on their list, because I'm a big AFI fan. So
right.
I kind of follow Davey Havoc a little bit, and I know he had another actually side supergroup thing that was called
Extremist. Or,
well, there's that one too, but there's Son of Sam. Son of Sam was a horror punk band that formed in 2000. It was it was him with Todd Youth of Danzig. And then London May and Steve Zing of Samhain. So basically, he was playing with like these Danzig guys, and they released two albums. One was in 2000, I think. One was in 2003. But that's if you like horror punk, you should check that out. Son of Sam, and then the other one, the Extremists that you were talking about too, Frank. But yeah, I had no idea that you would have them on your list.
Yeah.
Davey does a lot of stuff. He's like deep, you know, he's into the deep punk, and he's also into the, like the 80s new wave-ish stuff, because he did do stuff with his guitarist Dave Puget, Black Audio, and I think they released like four albums, but that's not really a super group, it's just them two. Plus, making like 80s style music.
He's got like a clothing line as well too, right?
Oh, I don't know about
Davey
that
Havoc, I think.
Nah, I'm just into the music, not the skinny jeans.
Sold at Hot Topic.
Yeah, sold at Hot Topic. Yeah. Awesome. And then somewhere else. But that's all I got. Was that the end of your list, Frank?
No, I've got one more.
What it's you like got? A
super underground, super DIY.
Oh shoot. Okay. Well, let's see if Chuck knows it.
Okay. So it's this band called The Criminal World, and The Criminal World. They got started in 2016 between members of Soft Kill, which is one of my ultimate favorite bands. Actually, after at some point, I have a 24-hour live stream access to their show that they're doing at the Crystal Ballroom in Portland.
Oh, sweet.
And Soft Kill, you know, they've been one of my super favorite ultimate bands for the past 3 years. Actually, in fact, I just ordered a custom set of their guitar strings.
Oh, sweet. Awesome.
Yeah. Hmm. And if you're not familiar with the Criminal World, you know, if you're into like the whole dark post-punk type stuff, you know, like the really gloomy, hypnotizing, just very reverb-filled, overdriven music, I think you'd, you know, really, really dig this. And also, just a side note, since the pandemic has put a pause on live music, not the Criminal World, but Soft Kill has opened up a brick-and-mortar merch shop, basically, in Portland called Rip City, which pays homage to the Portland Trailblazers, and I can get into
what
that a little
heck?
Later. Yeah, that's weird. So in the 70s, when the Trailblazers were just getting started.
Are you talking about the basketball team?
Talking about the basketball team. Yeah.
Oh, I was like, yeah,
I was kind of, well, I was kind of confused for a second. No,
and this is in reference to the hold.
You're like thrown us for a loop right. talking about sports on this show.
I know, right? I was like,
no. No, so this is in reference to Rip City. So when the Portland Trail Blazers were just getting started, they were competing against the LA Lakers. And I think they've had a rivalry since then. But at one point, the Trail Blazers, one of their players, they tied up the game. Did like a very ill-advised move, but they ended up tying up the game.
This is where you can tell we're not into sports.
I know, we're just like, okay.
Like he's all like, he did something that messed the game up.
But you know, it was like a move that the whole arena just went wild, you know, because it tied up the game. And the sportscaster at the time, you know, he just out of nowhere just blurted Rip City.
Okay.
And this is why Portland is now known as Rip City, and this is also why the shop is called Rip City because of that, because the band is a
fact check.
Yeah, because the band
I believe
because you know they're a big fan of the Portland Trailblazers and also just being from Portland and whatnot. But wow. Basically, yeah, okay. This
I think Portland actually has, I think the Blazers actually have that on one of their jerseys. It says Rip City.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can definitely so
we're so like ignorant to sports.
Well, I mean, maybe if it was Spurs related, I probably would have known. But also, too, since it has to do with the Trailblazers, I have no idea.
But if we ever get out to Portland at some point, I mean, it's a shop I do want to visit because, like, one, the band itself is actually running the shop, and so their merchandise is there.
Okay.
And two, they also specialize in boutique guitar pedals.
Okay, I thought you were going to say something else. Okay. Okay, boutique guitar pedals. Okay.
Yeah, so boutique guitar pedals. So, you know, I mean, it's exciting, you know, that there's a band actually that has like a brick and mortar merch, basically a merch table that you can visit in an actual shop.
That's different.
Yeah, that is. You know what? It reminds me of it when you say that. It reminds me of, you know, those little shops in Wonderland of the Americas Mall. Like that's what it reminds me of. I mean, if that's what it is, then
their walls are held together with zip ties.
With the zip ties, yeah, it's like just the shirt racks put together.
No, they've got
as right next to the shop is a Sbarro's.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can get pizza then. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll go. Just let me know when you're going.
No, definitely.
Cool. Yeah, but that's all I had. I think just real quick to touch upon like something that I read, apparently like super groups, like the first one that was like, I think something about Wikipedia said the first, super group that was like known, I guess, was Cream in 1966.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And that was, what's his name?
Eric Clapton.
Eric Clapton. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, some of those other guys.
You know what? We can't forget about the Runaways.
Yeah. Oh, the Runaways. That's right. Actually,
Joan Jett, Lita Ford.
Yeah, that's right. I actually have that on vinyl. The first Runaways.
Nice.
Yeah. Shoot, I forgot about them. That's a good one. So they said Cream was the first one in 1966. Well, according to a Rolling Stone editor. But if you look at Wikipedia, the first real known supergroup was from 1960, 6 years before, and that was Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
And they were, yeah, so they were from different bands too, but apparently that was the first one.
Okay.
And then Cream, I guess, was the hard rock one or whatever in 1966. But yeah, no, Runaways, I actually put that on because I would love to put that on Spotify.
I heard a fun fact that Eric Clapton is the only person in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 3 times.
For different bands, right?
Yeah, for his solo work, for Cream, and for Derek and the Dominoes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. Would you stock that away in case we're on Jeopardy or something?
No, that is interesting. And, I mean, you never know. One of us might be on
Jeopardy. That's for that day you go on Jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly. that one day. You just get lucky and get that one question right.
Yeah, that's
and
you're, the final Jeopardy you end up question
leaving,
right there.
And you end up leaving with negative 5,000.
Yeah. You owe the show.
Yeah, I owe the show. But I mean, that's all I had. Unless anyone has anything else.
No, I learned a lot. Okay.
No. All right. Well,
tapped out.
Cool. Chuck, you got. Oh, so you're tapped out. All right.
Yeah, I'm tapped out on supergroups right now.
All right. Cool.
I bet we're gonna have a pretty good hangover for.
Yeah. So usually we have a little hangover segment and we talk about things that we forgot to mention last episode. So maybe we'll have something next episode. But I want to thank Chuck Vance for taking time out of his evening to join us again. You know, it was cool to just talk to you about stuff, not pick your brain and grill you and interrogate you and stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, no, thank you.
For sure, definitely.
And I encourage everyone to listen to Chuck Vance's show. I listen to it when I'm working because, I mean, it's a hell of a lot better than listening to just regular radio, your regular standard radio station. But one more time, Chuck, tell everybody where they can listen to you.
Tuesday nights, Pub Sports Radio. It's pubsportsradio.com. They also have an app you can download for free, the Pub Sports Radio app, Tuesday, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Sweet. Cool. And do you have anything upcoming on your show as far as guests or anything that you'd like to plug?
No, not yet.
I'm gonna say, Chuck, like I said,
I'm working on Corey Taylor.
And if you get that Corey Taylor and you need a plus one, just send Kim a message. She's there.
Yeah. No, well, definitely. I follow you on social media, so I encourage everyone else to follow Chuck too. I sometimes repost some of your stuff. So if you have any guests coming up, I'm gonna be sure to repost that so they can check that stuff out.
And now the stuff's opening up. I'm gonna try and get more and more.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, and I'll keep my eyes peeled because I know I have you on Instagram and Instagram and Twitter. I think I have you on Facebook too. Do you have a Facebook?
Yeah, the Chuck Vance Show.
Okay, then I do have it. Okay, because I really don't use Facebook much anymore. I'm strictly on Instagram and Twitter, and that's where I mostly see everything. But that sounds good. And maybe hopefully sometime in the near future we can have you on in person and we can drink beers in person because we said this last year, but then COVID happened. So, we'll keep an eye out, and I encourage everyone, like I said, to listen to Chuck Vance's show. Anything you want to say before you leave?
Thank you all for having me.
All right, sweet.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your evening, and enjoy the holiday weekend, and have some more beers for us, and we'll have some more beers for you then.
All right.
Cheers. Talk to you later, friend.
Cheers.
Right, cheers.
Bye. All right, guys. Well, that was Chuck Vance. I really I appreciate him being on the show and talking with us. Before we leave, I wanted to talk. Usually, we have the hangover section in the beginning, and I know we've been off for 2 weeks. And I want to know if anyone had any hangover that you guys wanted to talk about.
Yeah, this Velcro.
What the
His cat stole.
That our cat stole.
Not returning it.
Frankie's had too many non-alcoholics.
Yes, I have.
I had one. Well, because I think our last show was Irish bands and whatnot. And, they kind of count as a technicality, but Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Are they also a one-hit wonder?
That's a good question. They very well may be a one-hit wonder, so we could put them in two
Come
shows.
Come on, Eileen.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And they're actually British, but...
I think the singer's Irish.
The singer's Irish, yeah.
Interesting.
And also, fun fact, in the song, they say Turalura a lot. Yeah, that's from what I understand, and I read that it's very common in Irish songs because it was a vocal that was used to stand in place of bagpipes. So they would sing that when a piper wasn't there to play, and so it just became so common that it became an actual lyric that was used. Okay. It's in a lot of Irish songs, Irish lullabies, all kinds of stuff. So.
Oh, wow. I did. That's pretty interesting. I don't know about that.
Okay. Yeah, so now we know.
I know there was one supergroup that you had mentioned like before when we had talked about something, Britt, but the Highwaymen. I know they're not rock, but it's a country supergroup.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah.
Those are a big. That was a big one. Mm-hmm. But that was just one I just wanted to mention.
Yeah,
really
definitely.
Quick.
I'm glad you did.
I think one of the things that I wanted to talk about that was hangover related was we had done, what was our last episode?
The Irish stuff.
It was our St. Paddy's.
Yeah.
Okay, so the one I wanted to talk about was our One Hit Wonders episode. So I feel like I kind of screwed up on that one, and I did it all in one episode when I could have separated it. Because when I was looking at One Hit Wonders, I was like, oh, there's a bunch of One Hit Wonders. I think we could have done one like for the 80s specifically, and one for the 90s, and then one for the 2000s. For sure. And I was like, well, maybe if you guys would want to touch up on it and go into more bands that we didn't talk about, that we can do that. Because, I mean, we have all the time in the world or whatever to do this stuff, unless COVID kills us. But so we can do like an 80s one and then a 90s one and a 2000s one. But But yeah, no, I mean, that was a hangover I had. But I mean, before we leave and like end the show, I want to know if you guys wanted to try another beer, because we had beers sitting here that we didn't get to try.
Oh,
if you
sure,
guys want to try
right.
anything.
Yeah, okay. Well, I kind of forgot that that's part cool. of the show.
All right, hold on. Let's see. Yeah, I know.
I did get a different one. Britt and Frank brought us beers and Faygo from their trek from here to South Carolina.
And, and if you guys aren't familiar with Faygo, that's the official, unofficial
one.
Drink.
I can't wait to try it.
Of, don't shake it. Of
with its 58 grams of sugar.
Of insane clown posse. So,
that's right.
But I have,
Kim, it's not for drinking, it's for bathing in.
Oh, okay. Well, Mario, we're getting in the shower with that.
Okay.
So this is a Cooper River Brewing, and it's a blonde infused ale with orange. It's infused with oranges. Oh, my 8.3 is kicking in. Okay, this one's only 4.6. It's pretty good. I like it. You can taste that orange zest at the end. Like it's spicy. I'm not saying that I didn't like spicy. That one just, the other one was kind of, I was getting a bitter taste from it from somewhere, but then I just kind of got used to it, and it was actually ended up being pretty good. And I really like this one. Did you like it, Mario? You tried
it? Yeah, no, I liked it. I like the orange really pops in it. And yeah. I like those beers that say, like, oh, it has this, and you taste it.
Where
yeah.
is this from, though? Oh, it's from Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. It's pretty good.
So, Kim, would you like to do the honors on this one? This one was one that I got for us specifically for the show. It's called Guava Rodeo. It's from Osaka Blues Brewery. And I believe the brewery is from, oh, it's from Longmont, Colorado. And actually they have a brewery in Austin, Texas too. Okay. And it's a 6% ABV. It's a sour ale, which we like our sours, with guava, tangerine, and other natural flavors.
Mario and I are actually going to try to go to a brewery this month, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
We took a day off from work, and I'm going to try to do something different. So
yeah,
news on that when we get there. When the
yeah,
time
that
comes.
Would be really cool.
We'd say, like, let's all go, but I'm sure y'all work and stuff, right? Because it's a Friday. We're going to go on, like, probably that Friday because we need a break.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're all welcome. Right. So.
Is this a sour?
Yeah, it's a sour.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're like, all like, yeah, it's definitely a sour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So sour, once again, with guava and tangerine and some other flavors.
Oh, okay.
So.
Cool. I like sours.
It smells guava. Like, I smell the guava.
Mm-hmm.
But
why does it smell like a sour? Perm?
Like a perm.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's good. That's smooth nice. And crisp. Mm-hmm.
It's a sour, but you know, like, some of those sours, they just...
Linger?
They're just sour.
Yeah.
Like, that
yeah,
one
just
that
straight
I had this
sour.
Week, it was the Blue Owl.
Yeah,
sour blue, Mexican lager or something.
Blue, yeah, the blue salt that's lime. A lime tastico or something like that.
Yeah.
So it was a sea. Okay, so it was a sea salt and lime one, mm-hmm. but it had more lime in it than anything.
It was just more sour. To
yeah, because it was supposed to be like really
but this
lime
is good.
Heavy.
Like the sour isn't like tart.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. No, it's good. I like this sour. One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it too.
Let me see. So,
I don't know what a guava tastes like. I don't know if
yeah,
I'm
I don't
tasting
know what a,
guava.
I don't know what a guava tastes like either.
But it tastes good.
What is a
I
guava?
I know when you were like, it smells like guava. I was like, you're good.
Well, because I know what it smells like, but I don't know, like, because I have other.
What is a guava?
I've had other guava stuff. It's like a little fuzzy bird. No, I'm just kidding.
Fuzzy bird. It's like it looks like a lime.
It does?
Right? Or
really?
Am I tripping?
I don't know.
Google.
Looks
like a watermelon and a lime had a baby with a cantaloupe.
Okay, that sounds good.
All three of them are involved in this baby making.
Britt, what do you rate it?
I'm gonna go 4.
4, okay, because yeah. we haven't rated anything this episode.
Well, that's okay.
Kim, what do you rate it?
4.3.
Okay, and I rate it. Let me give it another taste.
Are you looking at the guava, Frank?
Yes.
It does look like a watermelon and
yeah.
a lime and,
yeah.
and a cantaloupe had a baby.
Can I see it?
Right?
Dang.
It's like a baby watermelon.
Lope. Okay, okay. A baby waterlope.
Baby.
It looks like a cantaloupe. Well, like the
yeah,
seeds
but
in it look like
peanut.
Cantaloupe.
But it looks like a lime, too.
Exactly.
That's
and
weird.
In this picture, it looks like a tomato.
I'm going to give it a 4.
So it's like a tomato and a cantaloupe.
Yeah.
And then, like, a breed. And then
yeah.
watermelon and lime.
Look at that one.
And then they had a Super Baby.
What the hell?
Super never Baby? Knew what they
look like. It's a smoke. We're talking about super groups. I mean,
super Baby.
Super fruit. So I give it a 4.5. I mean, I like it. It's really good. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I could drink another one of these. This is pretty good. Mm-hmm, I like it. Mm-hmm. The IPA I had earlier, I'd give that like a 5. I really like that IPA.
Okay.
But then again, I've been really into IPAs. Like, I think it's rare for me now to find an IPA that I don't like.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the tropical ones, like the Deftones ones, are the ones that I... Stop shaking that Faygo.
I want it. It looks so... It's so like...
Why don't you taste it right now?
Because it's not cold. Oh. It's weird.
Let me put it in the ice chest right now.
It's not going to get cold enough.
No, you're right. Sorry, I should have put it in the ice chest.
It's blue. It's like freaking blue. It
looks she's going to start listening to ICP, so when we come in next episode. Right. Yeah. She's going to come with her face painted.
Stop.
So,
with my Hatchet Man tattoo on my ass.
Do they have like an unofficial better snack?
Unofficial snack.
Yeah,
dude,
is there
they have to
trashy,
eat something with
like
their
wrap snacks.
Let's see, like wrap snacks. Yeah,
wrap snacks are good.
I haven't had any.
I have had. We have.
You know, Mike,
sampled all the wrap snacks.
Really,
yes. Mike? Okay, he used to sit next to me when we worked together, and he would always have wrap snacks.
Really?
In his drawer.
Did you know though? Now there are wrap snacks ramen noodles.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no shit. We took a picture.
So they're wrap noodles.
She should have brought some.
They're ramen noodles, but they're wrap snacks variety, and it's
wrap noodles.
Yeah,
wrap noodles.
Yeah,
wrap ramen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Frank, but they just eat hood rat snacks, though, right? I mean, it's not really
specific.
It's got to
be the hoodiest of rattiest.
It's just like, what's the most hood rat snack there is?
Hot Cheetos.
Hot Cheetos, right?
Hot Cheetos, yeah.
Hot Cheetos and cheese.
Hot Cheetos and cheese.
Stuck in a pickle.
With the hot Cheetos stuck inside, dipped in cheese.
With chamoy.
Okay.
It's like the trifecta.
You didn't find anything, Frank? Nothing on ICP snacks?
Just how to make mummy dogs.
What the hell is that?
Ooh, that sounds good. Is it like pastry?
Wait, is that an ICP thing?
Like a hot dog?
Are you juggalo?
Yeah, that's what it is.
No.
What? Oh, okay.
They're like
the
cup
soups.
Of noodle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what interesting. Master P, Boozy, E4. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's crazy. All right, guys. So,
but like, was I right? It's like a biscuit or like puff pastry wrapped around a hot dog?
Basically, yeah. That's all it is. They're called mummy dogs.
Wait. But they eat this specifically?
No, I just did ICP snacks.
And that popped up.
And that popped up along with a picture of a barfing pumpkin.
So that's their thing.
Okay.
I guess so.
Who knows?
Okay. Anyways. Well, I guess if you guys don't have anything else, we'll see you guys next time. Frank, what are we talking about next time? Most likely.
Next time. So we've been entertaining the topic I don't want to. Should I give the title away? Well,
yeah,
no. Okay. Well, basically.
You can, I mean.
Well, no. I'm going to save the title because it's a working title.
Okay. So what's the topic?
But basically, the topic is the shows and tours we were anticipating, we were excited to see that have been canceled or postponed because of the current pandemic. And, you know, we're all hoping that live music returns soon. And we're hoping that these postponed dates do happen.
Yeah, because I want to see Rammstein.
Yeah,
I want to see Third Eye Blind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and there's a lot of music we want to see that we just have to, you know, just have to wait a little longer for the right situation to make that happen. So, that's going to be our topic is, it's not the topic name, but it's basically, the music, the live music, the tours, the shows that we were hoping to see. That got pushed back.
All right. Sounds good. Oh, you know what? I actually had one little hangover thing to talk about.
Uh-oh.
You know how last episode was our Irish bands and stuff?
Yeah.
So I was looking at our stats, and we actually had a listener from Dublin, Ireland.
Hi.
Yeah. So I was like, I thought that was pretty cool. So,
sweet. That is cool.
That episode actually got quite a bit of listens.
Dope.
But it ended up being somebody from Dublin. So if you're listening again, what's
they
up?
They weren't disappointed.
Yeah, hopefully we didn't disappoint you. If you have anything to teach us,
we're all ears. Yeah.
We'll crash at your place.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, I guess with that said, thanks again to Chuck Vans for being on the show with us again. He was our first guest when we first started this podcast because we're going on July. I think we'll be a year.
Wow.
So, but yeah, no. Yeah,
time
thanks
flies
again.
When you're stuck in COVID.
Yeah, right. I check his show out. It's cool if you like to listen to music, if you don't like to listen to the same stuff over and over again. He's got you covered on that also, too. If you like punk, he plays a lot of punk stuff. I mean, thank you again. I appreciate, you know, him taking the time out of his night to come talk to us or talk with us on this stuff. You got anything else to say, guys?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you guys next week, and keep drinking and stuff, and let us know what you're drinking and stuff.
Okay.
Now I want to drink some more stuff. So.
Okay.
All right, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
Good night.